Please join me in the prayer for Monday morning as you find it on page 168. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might, make me sincere in my love to you, and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and obey your and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Hear the words of our Lord recorded in Luke chapter 21. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Florida officials are often concerned that people will not heed hurricane warnings. And that was especially true about 25 years ago. Not so much recently, because there have been a number of hurricanes that have hit the state. So people are a little more ready and a little more willing to listen to a warning. But 25 years ago, it had been a long time, especially in the region of Miami. It had been over 60 years since a hurricane had hit. And when Hurricane Andrew came ashore, a lot of people did not heed the warning and did not pay attention and were caught off guard. They had grown kind of callous to these warnings. They had heard a number of them before, and then nothing had ever happened. And some of the people were new, had moved down there from other parts of the country and just didn't realize how serious a hurricane could be. And when that hurricane hit, it destroyed 63,000 homes, killed 44 people, and left garbage that was worth 17 years worth of garbage for that community. Same thing happens oftentimes in the Midwest. We hear tornado sirens in the summer so often that sometimes we hardly even think about it anymore. You see the same response in people when, years ago, I remember when I was in high school and college, they came out with these buzzer alarms at the doors of department stores to catch people stealing things for shoplifters. And boy, the workers, the first few weeks they had them and that alarm went off, they would jump. But after a while, it's like, they hardly even paid attention to it anymore. You see those things going off all the time at Christmas. It's interesting how we can become callous to warnings, how there's something inside of us that the longer we have to wait for something or the more we hear the warnings, we just kind of think of it as wallpaper in the background. It's sad to say we can do that with our Lord's warnings as well about the end of time. I know I sure can. Jesus gives us very clear signs to watch for so that we can be ready. And he even hints that it may take him a while. In his parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, it says that the bridegroom was delayed in coming. And yet, despite that subtle warning that he is coming, but it may take some time, we can still find ourselves kind of drifting off and not being ready. And the longer we have to wait, the less disciplined we may be tempted to be in terms of having ourselves spiritually ready. If you took a group of children and if someone said to them, I'm going to come by and pick you up tomorrow afternoon to take you someplace fun, would those kids be more ready watching at the window at 1 o'clock or at 5 o'clock? Would they be more willing to believe this promise that was coming at 1 o'clock or at 5 o'clock? And that's the spiritual danger for us. The longer that the church has had to wait, the longer we in our lives have heard these warnings and kind of had to wait, the more we can just kind of take them for granted and not really take them too seriously. Our culture hates to wait. We want everything now. We get everything now with our technology and things. We don't like to sit around. There are blogs and tutorial videos on how to beat the lines at Disney World, for goodness sakes. You can pay extra money to get a special ticket at different amusement parks so you can get faster to the front of the line. We expect everything right now. We don't like this concept of waiting, especially in our culture. But our Lord is concerned that while we wait for these things, for this final day to come, we might start to revert back into looking at life the way the world does that's around us. Listen to his words again. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. He even uses the picture of a hunter trying to catch an animal. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Dr. Walther explained this about that imagery. As the animal wanders without care through the grass, the hunter suddenly bursts out of the thicket and throws the snare, the net, over his unsuspecting prey. The trembling animal is quickly and firmly bound until it is unable to move. He says, so in this way, God prepares his last day in secret for a falsely secure world. And our loving Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased you personally with his blood, does not want you caught in that snare, does not want you caught off guard. He doesn't want to see his entire heavenly mission, which has been about you and about getting you to someday enjoy the feast of paradise. He doesn't want you to lose that and to miss out on that. And so the same love that compelled him to go to the cross and to suffer and die for you, to atone for all of your sins, the same love that caused him to send his Holy Spirit into your heart through the waters of baptism and through his word to make you his child, the same love that has caused him to go and prepare a room in the mansions of his heavenly Father above, that same love now compels and moves his heart to come and speak to you these words of warning to be ready. Because he wants to make sure that everything about this faith and things that he has done for us happen, that they come to fruition for us. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Notice, he tells us, pray. Pray that you would be ready. You can see that wisdom of that expressed in the early church, how many of their collects and prayers, even in the service itself, were looking forward to the coming of Christ. Before communion, we would stand and sing together, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, Paul says, "You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And at one of the collects at the end, "Help us never forsake the Lord Jesus Christ until we see him face to face in life eternal." And numerous readings that were selected for all of the Sundays deal with this subject of preparedness and watchfulness for our Lord's return. "Pray that you may be counted worthy," Jesus says. And that begins by realizing by ourselves, we're not worthy. But it's only through what Christ has done for us, through his forgiving blood, that we are now worthy and holy and righteous before the throne of our Father. And may all of us here today get to know what it means to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Please rise as we join in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Thank you.